This juz begins at verse 148. And then it continues through Surah Al-Ma'idah, number 5, the table. Both these surahs are Madani surahs, and they are lengthy, and they are very generous in legislation. In Surah An-Nisa, the legislation naturally concerns women, and the part in this juz that we are explaining today has only the tail end of the various family and women legislations, and that is about inheritance. And it just tells if a man dies and has no children, and one sister, she will take so and so. If there are two sisters, they'll take so and so. But if the man left boys and girls, that is both genders, then each son will take double the portion of the daughter. And this, as you know, is frequently taken as a point of attacking Islam and of trying to claim that Islam does not equalize between men and women. I just wanted to clarify that this is not the whole story, that a boy would take double the girl, double his sister. The rest of the story is that the man is responsible for his wife financially, whereas his wife is not responsible financially for him. The man would be responsible for his sister if she becomes needy financially, whereas his sister wouldn't be responsible for him if he becomes needy, even if she is rich. And this should be very clear. The distribution of the inheritance goes proportionate with the amount of responsibility. A woman is not responsible. When a man supports his family, it is a legal obligation. On the woman, there is no such a legal obligation. Does it mean then that a woman shouldn't contribute to the family? It's up to her. And if obligated, it is the ethical obligation. It is the moral obligation. It is the response to love. And when you love, you give everything. But when there is a dispute, then the general principle of Islam is that the man is responsible. I know that many Muslim homes in the United States live a secular life. They are secular homes. They are not really Islamic homes. And this, in my experience, is often a cause to dispute. I was in Chicago the other day, and I told them this, what is the difference between an Islamic home and a secular home? The Islamic homes is run according to the Quran. And then at the end of the lecture, a man and his wife came, and he was a little bit uncomfortable. He said, "Didn't you say that in Islam men and women are equal?" I said, "Yes. How come you say that therefore they should have an equal inheritance?" So I told him, yes, they are equal, but they are different. His claim was, "I want my wife to pay 50-50 in our house budget because of equality." So I asked him, "Can you bear a child? Can you conceive? Can you deliver? Do you have labor pains like her when she's giving birth to the baby? Can you breastfeed a baby? And therefore, she has things to offer that he cannot do. And therefore, he must offer things she cannot do." And the basic rule, therefore, is that the man is the head of the family, is the qawwam of the family, the one who sees to the needs of the family, and is legally obliged to support the family. And yet, women are encouraged indeed, if they have the means, not through legal obligation, not by obligation of the Sharia, but by the call of the ethics and of love and the smooth running of life and the caring for one another. And eventually everything, if not spent by the family, will be taken by the children. So this should not be a cause of dispute in Muslim homes. Then the rest of the legal points comes in the Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah number 5. I have taken the juz as one unit, really, because they quite complement and supplement one another. The end of Surah An-Nisa and the part of the juz in Surah Al-Ma'idah, really I found working and complementing as one unit, and I can divide them roughly into three parts. The first part deals with the Aqidah, the creed, the belief, and that is God is, there is God, and that we have to believe in Him and in His messengers. And there we will not try and differentiate between Allah and His messengers. And as you mingle, you'll find those people who say, well, I believe in a supernatural power, etc., etc., but I don't take the messengers and the prophets. And many people say that, really. No. You are not allowed to separate God from His messengers, because if there is God, and He created us, and He gave us autonomy to be free to choose, He would like to help us know what to do and what is not to do. Therefore He contacts us, therefore He sends His messengers to us. Or else, how can we ever know what Allah considers good and what Allah considers evil? So you have to believe in the divine as well as in the prophethood. And also, we are not allowed as human beings to differentiate between the various prophets. We make no difference between any and other of them, as the Quran says. And yet, on the divine level, it's up to Him. Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Those prophets, we have put into grades and degrees, and we preferred some over the others. Allah knows whom He prefers. It is up to Allah, but it is not human domain. And therefore, as far as we human beings are concerned, the Quran tells us to say, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُلِهِ. We don't differentiate between His messengers. There is also the evidence of the continuity of the chain of prophethood, and the surah tells us, Allah addressing the prophet, إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. We have give you the revelation as we did to Noah and the prophets after him. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَعِيسَى وَأَيُّوبَ وَيُونُسَ وَهَارُونَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا. It is a long chain, and the long chain ends with Islam. So Islam is not Islam versus the previous religions. It is the crowning of the message. It is the final say and the final word. Allah contacted people in segments for specific reasons, on limited people or limited occasions, until humanity came out of age. And the final instructions to humanity regarding the legal system as well as the moral system and the system of worship, etc., came with Islam. And Islam therefore completes the long chain of prophets, and Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, who, like the Quran tells us, that the previous prophets were Muslims, because Muslim is not necessarily in capital letter. It can be in small letter. It is whoever submits to the will of God. To submit means to aslam, Muslim. And the Muslims are the submitters. And the final version came by Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And therefore we read in this juz, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. So this is the finality of the prophethood and the completion of the religion. This day I completed your religion, I fulfilled my blessing to you, and I am pleased to choose Islam as your religion. Then I would like to go to the legalities included in the Surah Ma'idah, and there are many. I categorize them in 10 headings, although some of the scholars, of course, categorize them in under 18 legal dictums, That is probably due to subdivisions or counting, splitting one as two, etc. Number one, the sanctity of human life is well established. And here we listen to the Quran saying, on this account, we declare, we decreed upon the children of Israel, من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا ومن أحياها فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا. On this account we decreed upon the children of Israel that whoever kills a soul for no other reason than manslaughter or corruption in the land, it will be as though he killed all mankind. And whoever saves a soul, it will be as though he saved all mankind. Number two, to honor our contracts. And this is the opening of Surah Ma'idah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu awfu bil uqud. You have to respect your promise and respect your contract. Number three, the principle of justice, whoever and whatever, in spite of relation, in spite of emotion. One of the principles, the legal principles in Islam, the judge should not utter a verdict if he is angry, because anger might deviate you from justice. And the justice is one of the principal values of Islam. Even if you are judging between your relative and the other whom you don't know, and the verse is quite revealing, كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا. You have to stand for the faith and sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to observe justice and don't allow the wronging of you by other people make you swerve away from justice. Number four, prohibited foods. حرمت عليكم الميتات والدم ولحم الخنزير وأهل غير الله. The rest of the prohibited foods are specific in this verse, and it makes the allowance unless you are really you have to take something which is not allowable. فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم. And therefore, if you happen to be lost and no food, and you find a pig or you find alcohol, and there is no way to save your life except by taking it, then the legal dictum of ضرورات تبيح المحظورات, that is necessities overrule prohibitions, and you are allowed to save your life only in as much as it is absolutely necessary. Then there is number five, the ablution and the tayammum, the wudu. And the Quran tells us that if you have to pray, you have to make wudu. And then the Prophet told us the details that are perhaps in the verse are generalities. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us the details of that. The Prophet is the explainer of the Quran. And Quran without Prophet will not be able to understand. You send the book, but you send the teacher. And of course we know how to do the ablution, the wudu, we know how to do tayammum. And I would like to point out that when there is no water, then we do tayammum. The verse contains أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ. If you deeply touch women. And many people think that if he shakes hands, etc., this is open to differences, and I respect both opinions. But some people interpret that if you happen to touch a woman, then you do azgan and you have to do ablution again. But the word in the verse is not lamastum. Lamastum would be touch. Lamastum will be exaggerated touch, and of course, most of the scholars takes it as an expression of the sexual act. Number six, there is the had, that is the ruling, the verdict, al-hiraba, when there is commission of heinous crimes against society, like rape, like armed robbery, etc., etc. And this can be a very severe punishment. The verse gives several options, and of course there might be mitigating circumstances that makes the judge not apply the had, but apply another punishment, the ta'zir, that is, the legislature would do. But this to me is a very important thing, because we live in a society where people are told to do whatever makes you happy. And when a man was shooting at passing cars at the on the freeway, and when he was arrested, he said, "I felt like killing someone." We live in a very lax society, and this is the missing element. If you want to stop a crime, your punishment should be enough to stop the crime. But if there is a full crime and no punishment, a full crime and a partial punishment, then this is not the way to stop the crime. You have to escalate your punishment to the degree that will stop that crime. Of course, the beauty of the verse says, unless someone repents before you catch him. Someone did something wrong, and the police would like to arrest him, but he comes out of himself and say, "I did wrong, I repent," etc. This should be considered in passing the verdict, at least as long as it is haqq Allah, the right of Allah. Every crime bears two aspects, the right of Allah and the right towards human beings. The right of Allah, He is willing to forgive. The right to a human being should be paid to the human being. So if you injure, you have to pay compensation. If you kill, you have to pay a ransom, etc. And most crimes entail both rights, the right of Allah and the right of human beings. Number eight, it tells us about the relations with the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. And it allows us about the lawfulness of eating the food of the people of the book, unless of course it is specifically prohibited, like alcohol, like pig meat, like anything that was slaughtered under another name than God's. Bismillah, in the name of the cross, in the name of Jesus, that wouldn't be allowed. Otherwise, we are free to eat their food and offer them ours. Number nine is the allowance of the marriage of the women of the people of the book. As you know, the early in Islam, Muslim men and the Muslim women were not allowed to marry outside the faith. And later on, the verse here made the exception for Muslim women, for Muslim men to marry women from the people of the book. And I want to comment, although this is not haram, it is not the best of the halal, especially when Muslims live in a minority in another country. Because any Muslim in America who is thinking of marriage has to think of two points. Part of the responsibilities on intending to marry. Number one, that there are Muslim women that have to marry, and they're not allowed to marry non-Muslims. And it is part of the responsibility of prospective suitors or husbands per se. It is a general responsibility to think of your Muslim sister who cannot marry, and there is already a marriage crisis in the United States. Number two, when you want to marry, you should think about the future of your children. Do you want your children to remain Muslim or to go out of Islam? And if you want them to remain Muslim, then you should choose the mother who would hopefully be more suitable and more able to make them Muslims. Then, the allowance of the people of the book to apply legalities of their books even if they live in a Muslim society. And Islam is the unique system that allows the Christians to apply any legal aspects of the Bible. There are not many, they only concern marriage and the divorce, etc. And the Jews to apply to themselves the Torah. apart from the general pool that does not confiscate or conflict with their books, then they stand equal to us and the same as us before the Muslim Sharia. And because it is applied to us and them equally, then they are not wronged. And it will be very fair. These are the 10 legal aspects of this juz. The other part concerns debate with the people of the book. Don't think you are God's children and his beloved. وقالت اليهود نحن أبناء الله وأحباؤه. We are the beloved, we are the children of God. No, you should be the servants of God. Bart exaggerates by saying that Jesus is God. Out of love, they love Jesus, but we love Muhammad and we don't make him God. And the Quran is very clear that this is a heinous thing. It is a very serious thing to claim that Allah is the third of the Trinity, or that Jesus is God, or the Son of God. And the Quran exhorts the people of the book really to go back to their books and listen to them and read them and apply them. You just look around now and go and read the Old Testament about adultery, about homosexuality, about injuring someone, etc. And you find these are very bad crimes, and there are very severe punishments in the Bible for them. But of course, as you know now, even the leaders, even the spiritual leaders, even the religious leaders of the people of the book have allowed so many things in spite of being prohibited in their religions. Maybe the Jews also is a bit specific about the Jews. They asked Moses to bring down to them a book from Allah. They worshipped the golden calf after Moses went to have audience with Allah. They don't respect the mithaq, the pledge they give to God to follow certain rules. They killed so many prophets. They utilize usury and fraud when they're dealing with non-Jews. What they said about Virgin Mary is very heinous. According to them, she was a whore, not the chaste girl she claimed to be. What they say about killing Jesus, and we know that they didn't. The Quran says they killed him not, they crucified him not, but they thought they did. And they trespassed even against Allah himself. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةً. They said, the Jews said, God's hand is paralyzed, is shrunk. He doesn't give. It means he doesn't give. And the Quran rebukes them for that. بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ يُنْفِقُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. And that is their aggression even against God himself. They did not go into the habit of advising each other against doing bad things. كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهُونَ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوا. And so this allowed so many ailments and so many immoralities to spread amongst them. So in general, the Jews brings us elements of creed, elements of law, debate with the people of the book. There is a general invitation to correct their religions, and a warning to those who are obstinate, and a glad tidings to those who repent. And in spite of the rebuking the Quran to the people of the book, it separates them as a category. It is not the legal treatment that is generally applicable to kafirs. The Quran makes them people of the book, a special group. They have our rights and all our duties. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns them seriously about their convictions, and yet allows us to deal with them as people of the book. And the Quran reveals that it is a religion of all people. It is not an exclusive religion. And the verse says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالصَّابِئُونَ وَالنَّصَارَى مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Those who believe in Islam and those believe in Judaism and the Sabians and the Christians. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day and do righteous deeds, there will be no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. So it is a total picture of the very bad points and the allowance of us to deal with them as fellow human beings and fellow believers in the God, in the one God, and yet claiming that we are different from them on very basic aspects of the creed. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.